I want to finish our study in Habakkuk. We've kind of broken it up several times because of circumstances. But I want to finish, really I'm going to focus on verses 16 through 19, but to kind of get us ready for that, I want to share some thoughts from God's Word. You know, a lot of times we ask God, why? Why do you do this? Why do you allow this? Remember Job asking why? So many times when we ask why, God doesn't tell us why. What does he say? We sang about it just a few minutes ago. Trust me. Trust me. I can do a better job managing the world than you can do managing your life. I'm so glad. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God is managing the world. Sometimes we try to control things. Sometimes we try to say, hey, do this, do that. But the reality is, God is in charge of that. And he is going to work. Psalm 73, I referred to that. One of the things about the writer of Psalm 73 was he struggled with the inequity that seemed to be there for the unrighteous and for those who lived righteously. And he talked about that. He talked about his feelings and his frustration. And in that, he was asking, Lord, why? Why does it have to be like this? And then he spent time with God. And he did not say God told him the end. He said, I perceived their end. Their death is not the same as the death of the righteous. And then we come to the book of Habakkuk, and in essence, he's been asking the same question. How long until you come to us, and Lord, why am I having to look on and watch the righteous get destroyed, get judged by you? And so as he's asking this question, I want us to look at how do we live in a nation like what Habakkuk was living in, that no longer fears God. How do we live in that kind of nation? I don't know about you, but I don't feel like we as a whole, as a nation as a whole, even though it should be that way, if you hear surveys, the majority of people are believers, say they are. But when you and I look at this nation, we are a nation that has lost our concept of the fear of God. We have lost that awe of who God is. We are no longer amazed by what God does. And that was some of what Habakkuk was dealing with as we have talk together. I want to take just a few minutes to review there. If you'll look in chapter 1 is where he asks those questions and God answers him, starting in verse 5, and says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who marched throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. God is going to use them to judge his people. And then listen to this declaration that Habakkuk makes in verse 11. But they will be held guilty. They will be held guilty. They whose strength is their God. They are going to be held guilty for what they have done. God's not just going to let them go off scot-free, do what they want to do. He is going to hold them accountable. In chapter 2, we talked about how Habakkuk says, hey, I am going to wait here for your response. I'm going to let you speak. And the Lord answers him and says, record this vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And he says in verse 4, a very poignant phrase that's later quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 that we're going to look at later. It says, the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous one is going to live by their faith in God. And then he goes through these series of woes or things that are coming. Be prepared, be ready. He talks about that. And then in chapter 3, or really in chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And in verse chapter 3, he says, he starts this prayer, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. That's the first thing that you and I must do if we are going to live in this chaotic world. We're going to have to remember, we're going to have to know that God is a God of mercy. He's not just about taking everything down or destroying everything. He is about showing mercy. And folks, he not only shows mercy to us, but he shows mercy to the ones that we feel like are persecuting us. It was God who showed mercy to Saul. As he ravaged the church in the early days, God showed him mercy. He gave him the opportunity to hear a message of salvation that was found in him and him alone. In Romans chapter 11, verse 30, as Paul talks about Israel and us as Gentiles, he says this, Romans 11, 30. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown, what? Mercy because of their disobedience, meaning because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. So these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all. Notice that. God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. God himself wants to show mercy and kindness and generosity. He is the God who gives good gifts to us when you and I trust him and when we look to him and ask him for those things. He is the kind of Father who knows how to show us mercy. So one of the things that the prophet Habakkuk learned by his experience is he learned to trust in the mercy of God. Not simply his wrath, but his mercy. And he trusted in that mercy by what? Faith. He believed that God was going to demonstrate that mercy even though there was going to be a time when he showed wrath to his people. There was going to come a day when he poured out his mercy upon them. Folks, we live in a day where some of us may be wondering, what in the world is God doing? Is God punishing us for something? God disciplines us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He wants us to receive his mercy. He wants us to receive the blessings that he has for us. So, you and I can live in the midst of a nation that is not fearing God because we believe by faith in the mercy of God. Secondly, we live in a nation that no longer fears God by declaring God's sovereignty. By declaring God's sovereignty. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon." Then he goes on to say, God is trying to reveal to us his sovereignty through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts." They're higher. Why? Because we're not sovereign. God is. Now, we live in a world where individuals feel as if they're sovereign. They're the master of their own ship. But does the Word of God ever tell us that? Does the Word of God ever promise us that we can go and do what we want to and then say, "Hey, God, I know you need me on your team"? No. We come to God in humbleness. We come to him recognizing who he is in his sovereignty and who I am in my lack of sovereignty. I'm not the king of my castle. Although I might think I am. But when I put my faith and my trust in God, when I declare that he is the sovereign God of the universe, then I'm not going to be asking the question all the time, what in the world is going on? How in the world can these people be so I know, I'll say it, dumb. How can they live this way? Seems like there's no common sense in this world. Yet, who is sovereign? God is. He's sovereign, and He is going to sovereignly not only use a pagan nation to judge His people, but He, in His sovereignty, is going to bring His people back to a place to where they return to Him and they seek Him with all their face. You and I have to believe that there's going to come a day when we are going to see the salvation that God has asked us to believe Him for by faith. There's going to be a day when we're going to see that come to pass. And we're no longer going to be left with just faith that this is going to happen. You and I are going to have the reality before us that God has saved us. God has delivered us. Habakkuk himself said, God has proven His sovereignty in the past. And that's when he goes through in his prayer how God has worked and God has made possible the salvation of His people. He mentions, as we look at verses 16 through 19, we trust in God despite our fears. Do you remember what Habakkuk said? Lord, I have heard the report about You and I fear. I fear what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know the One who does have all the answers. I know the One who has already written it out, planned it on my behalf. He mentions again in verse 16, I believe. He says, I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound. My lips quivered. Decay enters my bones and in my place I tremble. You see, he wasn't just trusting God because everything was going good. He trusted God even in the midst of his fears, even in the emotional turmoil that Habakkuk was dealing with, even as he was thinking about these people coming and taking over. What did he say? I still trust in You. I still believe that You are going to work. You and I live in a chaotic world because we trust in God despite our circumstances. Because we trust in God despite our circumstances. It says in verse 17, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls. Yet, that important distinction, I'm going to trust in You, even though my circumstances don't say You're good and You're giving me good gifts. Even though my circumstances don't talk about the goodness of God, they make me struggle and they make me falter. But you and I can live in the midst of those evil circumstances that come upon us. Why? Because we trust in God. Because we believe in Him. Because we allow Him to guide our steps. Verses 18 and 19, this, "Yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places." Chapter 3, Habakkuk is in essence worshiping God. He's worshiping God because of His mercy. He's worshiping God because He is the sovereign Lord of the universe, not the Babylonians. We can worship God in spite of what's happening around us. Habakkuk is expressing that his strength is going to come because God is going to be with him. We trust in God because He is the source of our strength. Then as he finishes this section of worship, this prayer that he is offering up to God, he says, "You're going to bring joy in my life because you're going to allow me." Says there, "I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And He has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places." That is, in essence, a statement of joyfulness. You have allowed me to stand in joy because you have taken care of me. Because you are the one who is watching over me. Habakkuk ends this with such a powerful commitment to God. "I'm going to commit myself to trusting in you despite my fears. I'm going to commit myself to trusting in you despite my circumstances. I'm going to commit myself to you because you are my strength. I'm going to commit myself to you because you have brought joy into my life. You cause me to rejoice because I think about the salvation that you have given." In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says this, starting in verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming shamers with those, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a" what? "Better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you are in need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." And then he quotes this. He says, "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul." God, the Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to write those words. And he dug back into the life of Habakkuk, the commitment that Habakkuk made to serve the Lord no matter what. No matter what was going on, I'm going to continue to trust in God. Can you say that's true of you? Can you say no matter what's going on, I'm still going to trust God? I'm going to believe in His mercy, His sovereignty. When everything seems so chaotic, I am going to declare my trust in God. That's what Habakkuk says. And it's a good word for us today. Let's pray together.